This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
The topic tonight is respect and obedience. How do you get your kids to do them?
Because, you know, I'm looking over questions that people send us, and one of the things that we see over and over again, people saying, how do I get my kids to mind? How do I get them to obey or to show respect? You know, that's an ongoing topic.
It really is, and it's kind of a multi-time topic because you've got to work with little kids, and then things change when they get to be preteens, and they change again as they transition into adulthood.
And we've got to change our parenting as they change.
We sure do. And you know what? But authority and obedience applies to all of us.
It does, and we'll talk about that in this episode. You know, the fourth commandment says to honor thy father and thy mother. That's one of the first commandments. It says the first commandment with a promise.
Yes.
Is what Paul says later on. And so that's right there. You know, that establishes a relationship of the child to the parents in the fundamental law of the universe, if you will. And then it carries over into the New Testament when we see in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says in Ephesians 6:1, this is the first thing that you teach your kids after John 3:16, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right.
And I like the one in Colossians where it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord.
Okay, so there's a definite continuity, Old Testament, New Testament. This isn't part of the law that was succeeded in some way, but this is something which continues in God's order for the family.
Yes, and it pleases God when our children are obedient.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as I was thinking about this, I tend to be the philosophical thinker in this, okay, and I admit that, and you keep me rooted in reality and in the practical side of it, so we balance off each other here, but one of the things that kind of occurred to me is that this is something we have to teach our children. I mean, we have a responsibility to teach our kids to obey the parents, to honor their parents like God has commanded, and yet because they are sinners, they inherit this disease from their parents. They're not going to naturally want to do that.
No, they're going to naturally want to do what they want to do. We had a child that way today, spent all day long nagging, needling, trying to get her way.
But don't forget sneaking around.
Sneaking around, yeah. Doing it without permission.
That's right.
She's got consequences, don't worry. But yeah, it happens.
And, you know, there's another, from our perspective and something we hear and sometimes we feel ourselves, we think, you know what, I'm a sinner too. I have messed up, or I've been disobedient, or, you know, especially with our teenagers, sometimes we hesitate sometimes to respond to things or to direct things because we think about our time when we were teenagers. And, ooh, you know, I did the same thing when I was that age, and
but
I'm not
that
sure.
That doesn't make it any more right.
No, it doesn't.
And God has appointed us to do this. In fact, He not only that, but if you look at the Bible, it's pretty scary. God holds parents accountable for their parenting.
That's absolutely true.
You know, I think about Eli, the old prophet, and you know how he and his family line were punished because of his disobedience and restraining his sons.
Yeah, on several levels in that one too. And yeah, okay. So given we have this issue, we have this problem that we know it's not just a matter of convenience for us. It certainly is convenient if our children are obedient.
Oh yeah.
But it's not just a matter of the parents' convenience. It's a matter of God's commandments. And how our families are supposed to operate.
Yes, but how those commandments are applied differs depending on the age, I think. Because our children are told to obey their parents.
Yeah, that's the Ephesians 6:1.
Adults are told to honor their parents, and honor is not the same thing as obey.
No, it is not. And you're right, that's the Ten Commandments apply to everybody all over, but the commandments to obey your parents, those seem to be very specifically directed to children, don't they?
And I see some people that are trying to make their kids in their 20s and 30s obey them. And I think they're barking up the wrong tree. Mm-hmm. Because as adults, we are told to obey those in authority over us.
Mm-hmm.
But those in authority over us are shown to be the leaders of our church.
Yes.
The people that employ us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our governmental authorities.
Right.
You know, there's a time that we transition from obeying our parents to honoring them. So how do you honor your parents without obeying them? You listen to them. You mm-hmm. show them respect. You consider what they're saying. That doesn't mean you have to do what they say.
Right. Well, so, okay, I think it's Ted Tripp says in Shepherding a Child's Heart that really the primary thing that a small child needs to be responsible for is obeying their parents. And so, you know, where do we start with that? I mean, how soon do you need to worry about that? How soon is that something that you need to make an issue of?
Well, I'll tell you what, I disagree with people that are harsh with little babies.
I agree with your disagreement. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Because you're right.
You've
got to consider someone's ability. You've got to consider their ability to comprehend what you're saying, their ability to obey. You can't just put rules in a place that the little child doesn't understand. Now, so we show grace to little ones, but as they have growing comprehension, we hold them accountable. And I think it's pretty obvious when you need to start stepping in.
Yeah, it was to me.
Yeah, it was to me too. There comes a time when they look at you and stomp their little foot and say no.
And there's no question at that point.
No.
You know,
there's no doubt.
When they're just babbling, although, you know, even sometimes if they're not, if, like, you've got a late talker like some of ours were,
yeah.
You could still tell from their body language when they,
yeah.
You tell them no and they look at you like, how fast can she get over here?
Yeah.
I mean, do they really mean it? Let me just try it.
Well, go ahead, make my day look. You know?
Yeah, when you see that, I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on in that little brain at that point.
Yeah.
And so definitely there needs to be training. There needs to be, you know, shaping of character, even at those very early. You know what? I might shape some character on that dog in a minute. But, yeah, those are things. No, you, sister, you stay there. We have two dogs. So one dog is communicating. The other dog has decided to investigate. And you be quiet, all right? Good girl. So
we're talking about
mm-hmm.
a toddler. You know, someone who is making it, who's getting around. They look at you. They say, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, at that point, you've got to issue some consequences. You've got to say, look, you don't say no to mom and daddy. Mom and daddy are in charge of you, and that's when you begin to teach them the word of God. God's word says, children, obey your parents.
So really, with the youngest ones, you do need to start easy. You need to start with understanding and with grace. Oh, gentleness is such a key word on that. Yeah.
Because you're teaching them about God. You're
mm-hmm.
teaching them about His expectations for them.
Well, I'm thankful to say that when I fall down and sin, God doesn't blow me up. It would have happened many decades ago if that were His normal response as a Heavenly Father. But, you know, He is a Father who is very long-suffering, who understands, frankly, we are but dust. And so, you know, when we understand, look at that little four-year-old and say, okay, I've got to do something about this, but honestly, He's very young, and He inherited this nature from me. And it tends to moderate our response.
Yeah, and we're not saying don't use physical discipline.
No.
But use it in a moderate, grace-filled way so that you're never, ever injuring a child.
No, never.
You know, you never lose your temper. If you're losing your temper, you need to get out of there, and you need to go pray until you're under control.
Mm.
You know, because the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God.
That's a very important thing to remember, and that applies in all kinds of situations, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's something I've had to say over to myself over and over again in parenting. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. My anger will not motivate my children to do right.
You know, one of the things I think is important, too, is we need to make the expectations very plain.
Yes.
We need to set a very definite boundary, you know, to say, okay, You, young child, you never touch this thing, or you never climb up this thing, or, you know, you make it very, very specific.
Concrete.
Something concrete, you know, because they aren't really capable of generalizing.
No, and you insist they speak to you respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as they grow up, one of the things we've done that's been kind of funny is if they say something to me and it's got a little bit of a tone to it, or they're rolling their eyes or whatever, I'll say, okay, no, that's not the way you speak to your parents. Remember, Word of God says, honor your father and your mother. I didn't feel honored by that. Instead, I'll say, let's try that again. Not ugly, but with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to try that again a bunch of times. And I'll give them feedback. I'll say, you know, your tone of voice sounded better, but you're still rolling your eyes. You can't do that. That's not respectful.
You know, what I hear you saying is something that I realize kind of midstream with parenting. A lot of what we're doing as parents is not just, you know, setting a boundary and giving a consequence, but we're coaching.
Yes.
We're teaching them how to carry themselves as good citizens, as mature adults, hopefully as believers. You know, we're teaching them behavior. It's not just a matter of, oh, gotcha, bang, but rather to say, okay, no, this is the way you should have behaved. This is what you should have said or should have done.
And, you know, if you want your children to choose to obey you, you need to choose to delight in them. You need to show them that you're delighted that they're your children. And I don't mean a gushy, ushy, bakushy way, but I mean just light up when they come in the room. Tell them you love them. Tell them what you love about them. Because, you know, the Word of God says we love Him because He first loved us. And when we love our children, that's a foundation for their obedience. That's why you have to be so careful in disciplining adopted kids. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have that foundation of, I know this person loves me. I know this person is not going to hurt me.
Yeah, and older they are when you adopt them, the more critical that is.
Yes.
You know, because we've seen that with some of our friends who have adopted. And, you know, that's a, wow, what a ministry that is. But it's a challenge.
It is.
It's a difficult parenting route.
And you have to be a lot more cautious, particularly in your use of physical discipline. Because, you know, if you physically discipline a child who's been carefully nurtured and delighted in and loved and taught the Word of God from the time he was an infant, then he's going to pretty quickly come to repentance in the early years of childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But a child who has fear, who's been abused, no, they're going to go into protection mode. I have to protect myself against this person.
And that's not teachable.
No, it's
not
teachable.
You're not getting through
to him. Sometimes that can make it look like the discipline's not getting through to him and can tempt a parent to overdo it.
Well, you know what? You've got to always keep in mind, discipline comes from the same root word as disciple.
Yes.
It means it's teaching.
Yeah.
It's not just punishment. And in a lot of cases, in most cases, it's not really punishment at all, but it's part of the reinforcement of the teaching and of the training. And if your relationship, even at that moment, is so fractious that nobody can communicate, that nobody can learn, then it's not really going to be effective discipline, is it?
And that moves us into how you're teaching obedience and respect has got to change in those challenging preteen years. But how we need to take a break here in the middle before we talk about that, don't we?
I think we probably do.
Okay. First of all, tomorrow is the second session of this session of Boot Camp 9 to 12.
Yes.
It's for parents of 9 to 12 year old boys, and it is fantastic. It is exactly what I wish I'd known when our boys were that age. And you can catch up. You can listen to the recording of last week and start in with us right on time tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about getting them to get school done, or 10 o'clock scholars. How will we get into college if we never get out of fifth grade?
And some days it felt like we weren't going to.
It really has.
And so if you want to get more information on that, if you want to jump into the class, come to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
Yes.
Yes. And we also, do we want to talk about our upcoming travels here, or save that for later?
Well, this weekend we're going to be in Tampa at the Fish Conference and in Sanford on Thursday night.
That's right. So if you're listening to this close to the time we release it, that would be on Thursday, January 22nd. We'll be in Sanford. We're going to be at the Open Door in Sanford.
At 6 o'clock.
Yes.
And the 24th will be at the Fish Conference in the Tampa area.
Yes, it's going to be in Brandon, Florida at Bell Shoals Baptist Church. And wow, that's going to be a full day, and we are looking forward to it. So if you're in Florida, or you want an excuse to go, this is an opportunity. We're going to be down there this weekend coming up.
Won't break my heart to be in Florida this weekend, Hal.
No, me either.
All right, so let's talk about that challenging age of preteens, because that is when we get the most questions. People say, my son all of a sudden is so angry and so disrespectful. I don't know what to do.
It's interesting. You know, we went through it ourselves, and I guess it didn't really register until about our third child, really, what was going on. But we found so many people that join our Facebook group, people buying our book, you know, people that sign up for our webinars. When we talk to them, we find out, yeah, my oldest boy is 9 years old or 10 years old.
Or 11.
Somewhere in that time frame. And it's kind of like, well, I could handle it up until this point, but now something has changed and I don't understand what's going on.
We call it PMS, pre-manhood syndrome. Right. And, you know, we're going to focus on the respect part, but what's going on is their hormones are surging. They have to before they have any bodily changes. So he may look no different on the outside, but on the inside, he's an emotional, hormonal mess.
Yeah, and that is so true. And that is going to impact every aspect of it. It's going to be not just physical. We think, okay, well, we're waiting to see body changes. All right, very good. But before you start hearing the voice crack and you see that first whisker, you're going to be dealing with emotional changes. You're going to be dealing with mental changes. I mean, that was a big flag for us, is that concentration disappeared. There was no concentration. And you're even going to have spiritual challenges, because as their mental capacity changes, they start making connections and asking new questions, which sometimes get into spiritual issues and can be very alarming to a parent.
So typically in the preteen phase, okay,
right,
up to about age 8 or 9,
yeah,
a child will be sassy. You'll say, you're in big trouble now. Meet me in the laundry room. You know, they might fuss, they might fight. We've had some really strong-willed kids. But it's a pretty cut-and-dry thing. Mm-hmm. You discipline them, they're repentant, you restore them. Be sure you restore them.
Right.
You know, you hug them, you pray with them, and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want more details about that, we've got a CD, Who's in Charge Here, that talks about how to handle that in detail.
Right.
Anyway, but they hit this stage when the hormones are flowing, and they sass you worse than they've ever sassed before. And you say, fine, I'm going to take away your iPod, or you can't play video games. And instead of saying, oh, no, don't do that, they say, well, I don't care, and blah, 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 blah.
They double down.
Worse.
Yeah, they don't change direction, but they double down the way they were going. And,
yes. And then you get mad, and you're shocked. This never happened before.
So
you say,
obviously,
fine, well, you'll never touch that game box again as long as you live.
Yeah,
and they don't repent, they get worse.
Right, and before it's over, they've called you every name in the book, and you've grounded them until they're 30. and that becomes really difficult, because, you know, everybody has lost it by that point.
Yeah, and you know what, nobody's learned a thing, and you're no closer to obedience and respect than you were before.
And yet, just because you're 12 years old and full of hormones doesn't change the rule. You obey your parents. You show honor to your father and a mother. And so there's got to be a way to negotiate through this, to navigate through this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the challenge for us as parents is training them through this time, too, especially because they become hard to stomach.
Sometimes they're really annoying.
Yeah.
And so at this stage, instead of immediately giving the punishment, instead, you need to get them down out of the tree, okay?
Yeah.
So you need to say, okay, look, sit down. You know you're not supposed to be acting this way. Sit down. Let's talk about it. What's going on, son?
Yeah.
And you talk to them and let them pour it all out. And a lot of times they'll be very disrespectful in doing it.
Okay.
Bring them back to the Word of God. Bring them back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, point out the problems in the Word of God. Talk to them more as an adult. And usually by the end, they choose repentance themselves.
Yeah, and this is, you know, be encouraged. If you've got a child who, you know, has shown evidence of salvation up to this point, you know, who seems to truly have turned from their sin at a young age and followed the Lord Jesus Christ, when they get to this questioning time and they're all fractious and out of sorts and stuff, wow, the Holy Spirit can talk so much louder than we can.
Oh, really? And the Word of God is so much sharper than our words.
Right. And so a lot of times I find that what we've had to do with children going through this stage is to calm the situation down and give them some time for the Spirit to work.
and some time for the hormones to circulate out. And, you know, and what is amazing to me is that when we started handling this stage differently, instead of losing it as badly as they were losing it, acting like the adults around here shock, then, and speaking with the confidence of knowing God has put me in this position, then by the end I'd say, well, you know, son, I'm going to have to discipline you because you said very disrespectful things to me in front of the other children, and I have to discipline you. And a lot of times they'll say, you know what, you're right, Mama.
Well, you said something there. God put us in this position. And we got to remember that because sometimes, you know, sometimes our kids will throw it back at us. We weren't elected to this. We didn't earn it. Our parenthood is not something that we achieved in the sense of, you know, we've been promoted to this rank. God appointed us to this. And not only did God appoint us, we feeble, struggling adults, to be your parents, but guess what, child? God gave you specifically to us. Yes. Okay, we're supposed to be good for each other.
And so in the early stages, you're teaching obedience through consequences and respect through consequences.
Yeah. Clear expectations and then follow through.
Clear follow through.
Right.
And you're teaching them the Word of God.
Right.
In the next stage, in the preteen stage, you've got to reach their heart, and their heart is in a rough place. And so you've got to be patient. You've got to do a lot of listening, a lot of teaching, a lot more explanation than things needed in the early stages.
Yeah, because, you know, in the early stages, the important thing is because I'm dad, because she's mama, and God tells you to obey your parents. That's why we have to do it. But, you know, when they get to be older, we need to be moving more to a discipleship model to say, you still have to obey, but this is why.
Yes. Let me help you understand my thinking. This is what God says about it.
Yeah.
And helping them to get through that stage. And it's hard. It's really hard, but the rewards are enormous.
Can I interject something here? Because I'm thinking about that. You know, when we were fairly new parents, I know I wanted to explain more why we did things and why this was important. And you know what? In retrospect, that wasn't the best way to be training my 4 and 5 year old.
No.
You know what they needed at that point.
That's more when you need when they're 12 and 13.
What they needed was this is the way it is. This is, you know, mom and dad are in charge, and you have to follow along because that's what God commanded, and that's all the explanation they needed. Especially if they wanted to ask why. At that stage, we needed to insist. No, you do what you're told, and if you want to ask after that,
I'll be glad to explain it,
but you've got to show your obedience first.
Now, we're not saying that 11 and 12-year-olds get to be disobedient and disrespectful without consequences.
No.
But
not at all.
You have to change how you interact with them because, frankly, at the moment of infraction, they're not rational. They're not rational and they're not teachable. And so you've got to get them out of the tree first and work it through. Now, but there's another stage after that.
That's right. As they are moving really into young adulthood.
Yes.
The transition to adulthood. Guess what? It doesn't happen when they're 28.
No, it doesn't.
And it doesn't. And frankly, I don't think it happens when they're 18 either. I think it's before then.
Because if you wait till they're 18 and they have made no decisions on their own, and they've been just obey mom and dad, I'll tell you exactly what to do. And they turn 18, you say, all right, you're a grown up now. They're going to flop. They need to learn. They need, you know, I think about John the Baptist.
Yes.
When he saw Christ, he said, I must decrease, he must increase.
You mean when the Lord comes into the picture, the parents need to back up a little bit and let the Lord become the primary leader?
Right.
That's a hard balance, you know, because we have met homeschoolers, godly families and all the rest of that, who have been so protective, have cocooned their children so much that they get to be 18, 19, 20 years old. And like you said, they've never made a decision. They've never had to do anything a grown-up would do. You know, they've never been challenged.
Some of those kids have told me that they were not prepared for adulthood. That their parents did a great job teaching them educationally, great job teaching them the Word of God, but they didn't teach them how to be adults.
That's right.
And so, yeah, we need to, the teen years through the early 20s, we need to be encouraging our children to seek the face of God and encouraging them to obey God.
Yeah, and we need to be encouraging them to stand up and to take on more adult status. And for example, you know, you've got a 16 or 17-year-old, maybe he or she's got a driver's license, and they get an infraction, a parking ticket, they miss a stop sign or something, you know, something minor. You know what? That's a time to kind of push them out a little bit and say, you know what, you've got to go, you're going to have to go to court and talk to the judge. I'll come with you, but you're going to have to talk to the judge and, you know, and take responsibility for your actions.
Or you're going to have to hire an attorney. You know, it's time for them to start taking responsibility. But let's talk just a bit more about respect, because this is kind of hard to balance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's important that our children continue to respect and honor us, even when they no longer have to obey us when they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that a lot of parents clamp down on the obedience in the teen years, hoping that that will retain the respect. But I think instead, if we encourage adulthood in our children and teach them that the Lord expects them to respect us, that they're more likely to respect us because they don't feel like they have to push us away to express their own adulthood.
And we've seen that too. We've seen that of young people that are not rejecting the faith, but they're struggling to stand on their own feet, and their parents are keeping them in place. And a lot of times the parents aren't even aware they're doing it.
Now, I tell you, this is hard and this is tough,
mm-hmm.
but we also have to model for our young adult children how we as adults honor our parents.
Yeah.
Do we speak rudely to our parents? Do we listen to them when they have concerns? And even if we don't agree with those concerns, still show them the honor of listening to them and responding respectfully?
That is very true.
You know, I often will find myself losing my temper with a relative and thinking, hang on, Melanie, do you want to hear this coming out of your children's mouth in 30 years?
Right. And you know what? It's not just our parents, you know, but it's really our attitude toward all authority. Because, you know, if you read through the New Testament, you see lots of commandments that deal with how grown-ups interact with authorities over them.
Yes.
Their church leadership, you know, the authorities that maybe we placed over ourselves in the workplace, you know, when you see these commandments about relations between servants and masters, I think those apply to employers and their workers. In the 21st century.
I totally agree. You know, we've only got a couple minutes, but can we address just real briefly, what about the parents are in that tough situation where they didn't lay the foundation right in the younger years? Maybe they were too harsh, because listen, you got to keep loving and delighting in your kids even when they're really nasty. Even when they're 11 and 12 and 13 and you feel like you're going to pull your hair out some days, you still have to keep loving and delighting in them. Maybe they don't have that foundation of trust in their relationship, or maybe they haven't really taught their kids respect. What do? They start back disciplining them like they were two again? No, that train's left the station.
No, that you're quite right. Well, you know, that's the flip side, because as we say, that the parent does not have to earn the child's respect. I mean, God commands it. But at the same time, the child doesn't have to earn the parent's love.
Right.
And we know parenting authorities who say, well, you only express love if that child's being lovable.
No way.
No.
God loved us while we were yet sinners.
That's right. That is bad parenting advice. And so we need to, you know, we need to be grown up enough to express love. It doesn't necessarily mean that, I am so excited that even when you're back-talking me and you're being disrespectful and earning discipline of some sort, but rather to say, you know what, I love you enough to remain calm and to show you some respect.
As a young adult, yeah.
But at the same time, recognize that true love sometimes is going to have to be tough love.
And you have to look for opportunities sometimes to praise them. You have to look for
the
one little thing they did right this week. And praise it and thank them and tell them that you love them. And so you've got to work on that foundation of trust. At the same time, you're working on their heart. Son, let's talk about what God says about our relationship. You know, what you said to me, the way you said that to me earlier, that was shameful. Let me explain why.
Yeah.
And take them to the Word of God, not in a defensive, how dare you talk to me that way, but afraid for their souls.
As you should be. Yeah. You know, something else I think is very helpful is to be humble.
Yeah.
To show humility, because you know what? We have all sinned. We all fall short of the grace of God. We all fall short of His glory. And we fail as parents. Now, I don't go in for people that beat themselves up for bad parenting all the time, you know, everything
they've
done. No, because
kids have a choice whether to serve God or not,
right.
Whether they have great parents or terrible parents.
But you know what? When we goof up, when we have failed as a parent today, our kids know it. We're not gaining any ground by standing on our pedestal and pretending that it didn't happen. And so when we lose our temper, or when we, you know, jump to a conclusion and accuse our child of something that obviously they didn't do, we find out later, you know what? This is where we teach them. This is how a Christian repents of sin and confesses his sin to those that he sinned against.
I had to do it the other day with one of our children.
Well,
really lost my temper, and I just had to say, you know what? I was completely wrong. Please forgive me.
And you know what? That's powerful. And I found that that builds a stronger relationship than pretending that you are some sort of spotless paragon, which your kids, of all people, know better.
Now, you know, and if it's gone beyond that,
mm-hmm.
if you have a broken relationship with your older child, if it looks like they're going to be a prodigal, they're saying they don't believe in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
next week on this program, we're going to be interviewing Carol Barnier,
mm-hmm.
The author of Today's Prodigal. And she is absolutely fantastic. It'll be an encouragement to you. She'll give you hope.
Mm-hmm.
She'll give you practical things to do.
And the reason it's practical is because she was a prodigal.
Yeah.
She says real quick to point out, it's not my kids that was the prodigal. I was the prodigal, she said, for years. She was a pastor's child. And she literally left the faith for a time, turned her back on it all. And the Lord brought her back and has given her a ministry, among many things, talking to families who are dealing with children in rebellion. And this is a great interview. It's already ready to go, and you don't want to miss this.
And her book is Engaging Today's Prodigal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have done this off the cuff tonight without notes,
mm-hmm.
just talking from our heart. If you heard something and you need to think more about it, or maybe it upset you, it sounded like something different than what you heard, or maybe you just need more encouragement, I encourage you to get our book, Raising Real Men.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it at raisingrealmen.com. Just click on our store at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Because we go into this in great detail in our book, and we'll help you to know how to administer discipline in a godly way without anger, and to bring them to repentance, Lord willing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a big help to you. We've got a whole chapter about that in the book, and it's really mm-hmm. encouraging.
Right. And you also mentioned we have a workshop. We spend a whole hour discussing not only the training and discipline aspect, but how do you teach a child to be respectful and to grow up to be a leader one day?
Yeah, and so check that out at our store. Click on workshop recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you've got one in that challenging 9 to 12 or 13 range,
mm-hmm.
raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
Yeah, and that's a bootcamp for parents, okay? Don't email us and say, man, my child's under my skin. Where do I send him? No.
We all want your kids.
This is for you. This is for you to help train you for this challenge, okay? Because somebody's got to be the anchor in this transaction. So
yes, and let me tell you, folks.
Yep.
Have hope, because we've raised 3 of our 8 are now adults.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking with the Lord. They're a blessing and a gift to us. You're gonna get there. Be patient. Be strong. Obey the word of God yourself.
That's right. So, look, we appreciate you spending some time with us. You've been listening to Hal
and Melanie
and Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We hope you'll join us again sometime soon, okay? Thanks so much.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/AlanMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.